We kick off hour number three of the program. This segment brought to you by Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out. You can download the free 3-day VIP pass and try out Gold's Gym. Before you join, just go to goldsgym.com for all the details and to find the location nearest you. And now it's time for former Gold's Gym 12-week challenge winner, Davey Hudson's Gold's Gym Fitness Tip of the Day.
For today's Gold's Gym Fitness Tip of the Day, learn how to fight fatigue. Fatigue may be your biggest enemy when endurance training, but there are some ways to combat it. First, drink beet juice. That's right, beet juice, B-E-E-T. Mm-mm. It is packed with healthy nitrates that can improve your cardiovascular function. Beets can actually increase stamina by up to 16%, and it helps your muscles produce more energy more efficiently, making exercise less exhausting. And that is today's Gold's Gym Fitness Tip of the Day.
Dwight Schrute approves.
Beet there juice. You go. Good point by you. Mm-hmm. Good point, Billy.
Let's go to the phone lines, 865-546-8200. We're going to get to these Jim Chaney statistics coming up. Billy's done a good job digging up for us and look at the improvement. But first, we've got Rod on the horn. What's up, Rod?
Hello! How we doing this morning?
Optimistic.
My God, how you just told Jim bringing me in after Davies, giving a tip of the day, making me feel bad.
Wait, you don't drink enough beet juice?
Not a lot of beets on the farm, Rod? Can't
there
just...
ain't nobody that beet juice now. I tell you, that stuff ain't no joke. I ain't drinking that stuff. David can have all the beet juice he wants. He comes out here to the farm. I ain't growing no beets.
Fair enough. That's, people think I'm drinking wine in the gym. I don't want that.
Yeah, well, wine's too pretty, boy, for me now. I drink the hard stuff, but I tell you now, if you want some beet juice, send Davey on out. I'll give him. He can be Mr. Endurance Fitness Champion of the World again. Now, listen, fellas, I got a couple things to ask. Now, one is, as I was thinking back on last year and what I think the biggest difference I'd like to see between Elton and Chaney is the horrible misuse of Ty Chandler in the passing game. And we had several games where we threw the ball to Chandler.
Oh, it stinks.
Rod.
Bad service on the farm, man. What are you going to do? Man. What are you going to do?
Sometimes that happens.
I wonder if you just started listening because we did that start the hour. I wonder if you missed it.
What's in the last next hour yeah. now? So yeah. It's been a while.
He's just a 9 o'clock guy.
Show's just moving by quick.
Rod, give us a call back. No, I mean, but quickly to touch on that, yeah. I mean, there were four games where you saw the dynamic capability of Ty Chandler in the passing game, and then there were eight that he didn't touch a ball in the pass game. I don't understand why that would be the case. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It's weird to go four games before discovering it, and then it's even more strange to discover it and mm-hmm. then not continue to do it.
Now, exactly.
Was he maybe banged up? Was he, I don't know. But to do it, and especially the teams you did it against, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, South Carolina, Georgia, Auburn, Alabama, you had success doing that against four of the best defenses on your schedule, and then in other games against lesser defenses, you chose not to target him. It was a very strange decision or lack of decisions by Tyson Helton and the Tennessee offense. Big time.
Let's let Rod finish up his call. He's back on the horn. Rod, you got to get better cell service out on the farm, buddy.
I drove to that gum truck of that to one of them, what they call them dead spots and lost ends. But now y'all's done that, and I showed my hand. I just think that they misuse him so bad that they got to get him the ball more. But I think I hear Hootie say, you and me already talked about that. I must have missed it when I was down at the other end of the farm. I don't get my signal down there as well. But how about when you're looking at the roster, fellas, when you look at position by position, you think, like, I think we're probably average to below average at about every position except for maybe at the cornerback position. What's y'all? I don't know. Y'all want to run a segment or something on that one day, but what's your take on kind of position by position against the rest of the SEC? All right, boys. That's 13 later. Love you, boys.
Thanks, Rod. I think there's still a lot of unknowns, right? I mean, in a first year in a new system, it's hard for guys to feel comfortable with what they're doing on both sides of the ball.
Well, and when I'm talking Tennessee, you know, a lot of times I'm biased because I think of the great Tennessee teams from a while back, and that keeps getting farther and farther back.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also when I try to answer that question, like I only really compare Tennessee to the top half of the SEC. You know, like the
sure, yeah.
You know, like I don't. It's hard for me to be like, well, they're better at this spot than Missouri or, you know, Kentucky. Like to me, but really, those are the teams that need to be better than this year.
Well, and there's a difference between talent and then development plus talent plus tenure, so to speak, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, a 3-star offensive tackle who's been in Missouri's system for 5 years, he might not be more talented than Wanya Morris, but he might play better overall this year because he's a developed player.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the talent is improving, but the second part of this equation, and that's where Butch Jones failed, right? The recruiting, especially early, was good. It was the development. It was continuity within systems, offensive system, defensive system, coordinators, coaches, strength and conditioning. All of those things need to align also. So hopefully the defensive system stays the exact same and you see a big jump as far as individual players. I don't know if the overall defense will be better, much better, slightly worse. I don't think they'll be much worse than they were last year, if they're worse at all. It is still the first year with Jim Chaney, but this is the second year for a lot of people under Jeremy Pruitt and with Craig Fitzgerald. So I think you'll see talent increases. You'll see more flash plays. You'll see more consistency. But it's also the mental game now of learning the new system. And my guess is Jim Chaney's going to do everything he can. Like I said, he's a fantastic teacher of offense and of football in general. But I do wonder how much is it possible to force feed an offensive football team with 15 days in the spring, all the summertime meetings and so forth, and then 15 days again in fall camp. This is one of those things where if Jim Chaney is still Tennessee's coach in 3 years, it'll look a lot different, even if they're running the same type of stuff that they run this year. Because I do think that familiarity and consistency is going to ultimately breed more success. And Tennessee's still in this weird transition of an inherited roster being aged out and new guys coming in. I'm hopeful now, though, that you have an offensive system and a defensive system that are going to be in place for a long, long time. I don't know how quickly you see the dividends of that. I think the offensive system improvement will be visible, but again, you could take this exact same team if they practiced, you know, and didn't graduate, for example, in 2 years, this team and this offense would be infinitely better than they're going to be this year, which could still be much better than they were last year. Talent-wise, though, yeah, I think if I look at the East, I mean, Georgia's kind of up here.
Yeah.
I'd say Florida's pretty close to teams like Tennessee, like South Carolina. But Tennessee, I mean, the way they're recruiting now, if they can continue to develop, continue to get these types of transfers, it's not going to be long, hopefully, before you're right there nipping on Georgia's heels. I don't think Tennessee is, you know, less talented than South Carolina, Kentucky, Missouri. But what you're dealing with now is that they've been in those systems for 2, 3, 4 years, whereas you are, again, starting over, especially on offense. Like, you just can't be a tenured system, a tenured program. You can't have your philosophy and your kind of culture and everything in place after 2 years, or a year and a half, really. You just can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. Missouri, like, Derek Dooley's had one extra year on the offensive side. South Carolina replaced their offensive coordinator. They've had one extra year on offense.
Same head coaches, though.
But yeah, I mean, the head coach sets the tone of the culture of the program,
right?
And like what the workouts are going to be like, and how they're
and overall philosophy, right? I mean, yeah. South Carolina changed offensive coordinators. The offense didn't change that much. Missouri changed offensive coordinators. Their offense didn't change that much. It was still Drew Locke zipping it around. Maybe they added a little bit more of a run game, but they didn't change a lot. It was just a new guy calling the stuff. Tennessee, in this case, not only is your head coach going into year two, but you're probably going to change quite a bit compared to what Tyson Helton did, how he approached, you know, game planning, and what Jim Chaney does. There's just no way it's not different.
This has got to be the biggest change out of any of those possibilities.
Right.
I mean, it was.
But it could also show the biggest positive increase.
Right.
Because what we had was bad and what we have now is good, whereas those two teams had something that was pretty good and it stayed pretty good, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And now we rely on Jim Chaney to hopefully kind of lift, especially offense, everything up. Defense, I think you're really talented at corner. I think you're pretty good at safety. Linebacker, you're talented but young. So again, like, you have to kind of earn that consistency by being in the program. And the defensive line, I have no idea. Well, outside of Darrell Taylor, who I think is going to have a really, really big year. One issue, though, is depth.
Well, I think you are average at a lot of the positions that I feel pretty good about. You just gotta play better than the other team's average guy. You just gotta win those battles. You know, that South Carolina game last year, you felt like those teams looked pretty equal when they played. You just gotta play better and win that game. You know, Kentucky, you were able to do that. You played better. You won the game.
Yeah, I mean, you were more talented team when you played Kentucky, and then the game, everything kind of matched up, and on that night, you outplayed, you know, the number 10 team in the country.
When you play Vanderbilt this year, yeah, you might have some positions where it's pretty equal. You know, on that day with how good the players are, you just got to play better than the other guy and win that football game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Vandy, Missouri, South Carolina, and Kentucky, that's where you start. You just got to outplay those guys, whether it's because your left tackle is a five-star and is just more talented, or because Jim Chaney has coached up Marquez Callaway and he's just a better player this year, or Jarrett Garantano, or you know what I mean? The veterans just need to take advantage of having a better coordinator, and your true freshmen need to take advantage that they're just more talented because Jeremy Pruitt out-recruited some of these lower-tier programs.
Yeah, I think I look at receivers specifically. Obviously, Marquez Callaway is good. Juwan Jennings is good. Josh Palmer is good. I think the fact that they're older receivers, right? I mean, Palmer's a junior. Callaway and Jennings are seniors. Like, that could be, you know, I'm talking about Missouri's offensive lineman, right, who's been in the system for 5 years. And even though he might not be the most talented, he's seen enough football, he knows enough, and he's got pretty good coaching to be better than maybe he should be. I think you'll see that out of the receivers this year. Again, this is kind of offensive line notwithstanding. If they're terrible, it doesn't really matter. But having an older quarterback, an older receiving core, I mean, even your tight end is a senior technically. You got a lot of JUCO guys on the defensive line, so they've at least been around and played a lot of football. Older players can make up a little bit of the gap as far as talent because, again, they're just more experienced. They're just not necessarily experienced here, especially on the defensive line.
When we come back, we will get straight to these numbers Billy's dug up for us. Stick with us right here after a short break. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios. Hour 3 of 3 and Out rolls on here from Fox Sports Knoxville. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Billy Williford. Billy has done a good job pulling these numbers for us. It's the yards per game with and without Jim Chaney.
Big Jim.
Tennessee in 2008, the year before Chaney arrived, 268.8 yards a game. 2009, they went up 114.8 yards per game. That'd be pretty good this year, add an extra.
Yeah, I think that'd be fine.
114, I mean, theoretically, that should score you, what, at least probably a touchdown and a field goal, if not two more touchdowns a game, 114 yards, depending on field position. I mean, if you want to think about it, just pretty base numbers there. I mean,
yeah.
Tennessee averaged 318 yards last year.
So this would be
that
like...
would put you in the...
Yeah, 383-ish, something like that. If you had that big of a jump. That's...
Plus 100? Right.
Sorry, I was adding it to the 268, not the number you said.
Yeah, plus 100 would put you in the top 30, according to last year's numbers.
Okay. In total offense?
Yeah. Well, yards per game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
In 2010, Chaney's second year. Now, these are based off the previous year, right? So
no, it's not an additional 84 yards. It's based on the 2008 number.
So they actually went down in 2010 from 2009, but they were still 84 yards better.
But there's, I mean,
better with that, yeah.
Than 2008.
Right, correct.
And you're probably losing some players from the year before that really helped you out, so on and so forth.
In 2011, they were 55 yards better than they were in 2008. And then 2012, they were right at 200 yards better than 2008. So in year four, you really had the offense, you know, flying. That was 2012. Obviously, you were stacked with a lot of good players on offense, which helps as well. At Georgia, in 2015, they had averaged 362.4 yards a game. So obviously, the offense was a lot better shape. Jim Chaney arrives, and they're 23 yards better in 2016. They're 76 yards better in 2017, and they're 100.5 yards better in 2018.
Also, I didn't add in here, 2013 for Tennessee. After Chaney left, they went down. Now, this is from the 2012 season, but they went down 123 yards per game.
So steady improvement on when he was at Georgia,
yeah,
and big improvement in his first year at Tennessee, and then kind of a little lull and then back up in year four.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a reason that, you know, the term system quarterback, like, is a thing. I mean, the system does matter. And last year, I don't know what I was more upset about. The fact that what they tried didn't work, or that what they tried made no sense.
Or like, what they tried that did work, they stopped doing it.
Stop trying, yeah.
I think that's mine. Like, hey, we figured something out. Trash it. Jim Chaney doesn't do that. That's just not going to happen. Again, like, what he inherits matters. If you look at where he's been before, like, what were the numbers at Arkansas? Went down what?
The first year that Chaney was there, it went down 60 yards, and then the very next year, compared to 2012 at Arkansas, only down 25 yards a game. So he was bringing it back.
Okay.
But as you mentioned during the break, I mean,
it's a really bad fit with him and Big Ten Brett.
Correct.
It's a horrible, horrible fit. And Nate, you said it, and I think it's a really good point. That's even more proof that Jeremy Pruitt needs to just kind of let Jim Chaney do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he's given the keys, he has proven that he can take just about anything he's dealt and make it better than it was the year before. Now, obviously, you know, for example, let's say he raises it 100 yards a game. If you lose Garantano, you lose two receivers, you lose your tight end, a step back in 2020 is likely. But that's just college football. That's just what happens. Like,
well, schedules are different those years, too.
I sure, mean, yeah. There's
you get way into this stuff.
Countless reasons why it's not going to necessarily just go up every year until you're, you know, 1,000 yards a game. But when he's been at a place where I would consider it a good fit, I think it was a good fit when he was at Tennessee. If he had had a defense in a few of those years, you're going to be winning quite a few games.
Hmm.
George is a good fit because Kirby's like, I hate offense. You just handle it. I'm sure Kirby said, hey, I'd like to run it a little bit more here and there. But Jim Chaney is smart enough to say, here's what we got. Here's what I think we can do. He threw it all over the place with Eason. Even they still had two really good running backs. From he was a little bit more guarded with them, and they leaned on the running game. It made sense. If Jeremy Pruitt just says, I trust you, Jim Chaney, these stats prove, like, hey, you're going to be better, and that's going to allow Jeremy Pruitt to focus on the defense. And I think, based on everywhere he's been, if he has a better defense, you win more games because you don't have to worry about the offense for the most part when Jim Chaney's in the building. Like, you just focus on the defense, and you're a national champion, Kirby Smart. Focus on the defense and you're an SEC champion and in the college football playoff, Kirby Smart. Focus on the defense and you're probably not fired after a loss to Vanderbilt, Derek Dooley. The good news is Jim Chaney with Jeremy Pruitt there's no reason to suspect that one side of the ball is just going to be your ultimate demise. Mm-hmm. Whereas under Dooley, you know, he was like, oh, we're going to go 3-4 and go get Salas and Siri. It was a nightmare. Butch Jones. It was bad offensive system with personnel, and then you're meddling with a guy like Bob Shoup. You saw what happened with Shoup when he goes to Mississippi State last year.
Isn't it?
They're lights out. Pitt. They're not going to be as talented. It's going to be tougher for them to be really, really good on defense, but their offense was really good while he was there. This is a no-brainer if you just let him do his thing and do what you do best, Jeremy Pruitt and defensive staff. Focus on the defense and fire Will Friend if he stinks.
In fairness to the 2010 numbers, Tennessee did play Oregon, Florida, LSU, Georgia, Alabama, and South Carolina in the first, six, seven, eight games.
Gotcha.
But from South Carolina to the rest of the season, South Carolina, Memphis, Ole Miss, Vandy, Kentucky, North Carolina, Tennessee scored at least 24 points and had two 50-point games.
There you go. Well, I've got some thoughts on my favorite aspects of Jim Chaney. Let's get JB's thoughts here first, though, before the break. JB, what's up, buddy?
You made the comment that Jim Chaney can make whatever he's working with better. The man got Nathan Peterman drafted.
Amen, brother.
I'm just saying, and look what he did with Jonathan Crompton.
Yep.
I brought that point up the other day. I mean, the guy's really, really, really good at what he does. I mean, there's no denying that. And that kind of takes me into another point, and I just wanted to point out this. Really a big reason why I respect you guys is you guys were talking about optimism. You guys are optimistic about this season. I was on Twitter yesterday and was seeing, I'm believing it was another Tennessee sports writer, radio personality, and they were talking about how we should temper expectations and don't expect anything except 7 wins this season. No, dude, that's not going to happen. I've had a countdown clock set since the day after the last game last year. I'm ready for this season to kick off. And I mean, if folks can't see already the drastic changes that have been made even in year two with Pruitt, I mean, he brought in an NFL coach to run the defense. She said, "Here, Derek Ansley, you run the defense. You've been hanging out with the Raiders. You got hired by the NFL. You know what's going on." And then he goes out and he gets one of the best offensive coordinators in college football in Chaney, in my opinion. So here's your offense. I'm going to be the head coach now. I mean, there's nowhere to go but up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, there's nowhere to go but up. But yeah, I mean, his track record is what it is, and this is a situation now where I think, you know. I even remember when Derek Dooley brought in Salas and Siri, and you could see the logic, but there was also a lot of hesitation of, this is kind of the make it or break it year. Why are you switching defensive philosophies? And it turned out to be a nightmare, and it got a bunch of people fired. Making this move now, making it early, while improving the defensive staff, I mean, yeah, like, if you look at the staff, with the exception of Will Friend, who's just a question mark, I'm not necessarily saying he's a negative at this point. You look at the staff, it's hard to say where the eventual problem is going to be as far as side of the ball. And it's been a long time since you didn't have one glaring question mark going into a 3-year time period where you look at, okay, yeah, we got this coach and he's okay and that's pretty good, but this side of the ball really scares me because of this. You know, when Butch Jones brings in Bajakian and Jancic, it was kind of a combo of, is this going to work? But when he hires Larry Scott after DeBoer, you knew where the problem was going to be. Like, you knew that offense was going to be a nightmare. When Dooley hired Sinceri, you were hopeful, but he hadn't been a coordinator before. You could see logical pathways to a disaster, and that's exactly what we got. With this one, I mean, Jeremy Pruitt is, as everybody writes in their articles, a defensive mastermind, a guru, and now you went out and got Jim Chaney. As long as they don't butt heads and Tennessee continues to recruit, it seems like you're going to go up. I don't know what the ceiling is, but yeah, I'm with you, JB. Like, the only way to go now is up based on what I'm seeing.
And in regards to the Will Friend thing, I really want to give the guy a chance. And I look at it this way. I will never smack talk any of the players on the roster. It will not ever happen. But that being said, there's a glaring difference between what has been on the roster and names like Darnell Wright and Wanya Morris and guys like that. There's a big glaring difference in just beginning talent level between what's there and what's coming and what can come. I mean, there's a kid down in Florida that we're recruiting really heavily, and I was watching his opening videos, and I was just like, my God, please, can we have this? Can we get this kid? That'd be great. Doomerville.
Yeah, I mean, that's the key. I mean, you got to make sure you're still getting those players in, and that's the good news with this staff is they also have the track record of recruiting. Like, there's some NFL experience, obviously, but this is a college football staff, and they've come from schools like Florida, Florida State, Georgia, Alabama, you know, schools that know how to recruit. So these guys have been around it. They've seen it. And again, their track record suggests that they should be able to get the talent in here. How quickly, how many, you know, what's their hit and miss ratio as far as 4- and 5-star guys? And then development's a big key too. I mean, I mentioned that with Butch Jones. You're getting the talent. You're just not really doing anything to improve it once it gets on campus. There is reason for optimism. I would hesitate, you know, screaming 10-2 from the mountaintops, but I mean it's pointed in the right direction at least.
Yeah, and I forgot what I was going to say. I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks
you.
Thanks, JB.
We'll come back. I'll tell you my favorite thing about Jim Chaney, and it's very anti Butch Jones. So stay tuned for that as we talk more Tennessee football here during hour three of Three and Out. Welcome back in. Hour three of Three and Out. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Billy Williford with you. Talking Tennessee football. A lot of people kind of coming around to the idea that Tennessee could be a sleeper team or a surprise team or something of that sort, depending on if it's analytics or just a poll or just a list. And Jim Chaney, of course, a big part of that. We looked at kind of how he has improved offenses at other stops. We, you know, did point out that at Arkansas, things got worse on a, you know, per game basis in terms of total yardage, but that kind of underscores the whole point of Jeremy Pruitt needing to allow Jim Chaney to call the game and build the offense the way he views the pieces that are there. And my favorite thing about Jim Chaney, you know, for the last couple years we've kind of had to watch as Georgia and Alabama, you know, get set to do battle for, you know, really high stakes within the SEC and then in the national landscape as well. And I remember going into one of those games thinking, you know, it was one of the years where Georgia's, you know, they leaned on the running game a lot during the year. And, you know, the question got brought up, do you think Georgia's going to try and run the ball at Alabama or try and continue to do that? Or do you think they'll open it up more and try and throw and go against their tendencies? And in one of those games, Jim Chaney just came out and threw the ball almost every play. I mean, it was – I feel like
– I want to say that was the national championship game, if I'm not mistaken.
It may have been because I feel like we broke down that game so much because obviously you've got that long break to the bowls, then another break from semis,
right.
You know, the whole thing. And obviously it's the whole show for the couple days leading up to it anyway. There are a lot of coaches out there who will have a pretty good team. I mean, Georgia's been a good, really good team the last few years. And they're good at what they do most, you know, all the time. And then late in the year, you finally kind of get to a team that's as good or more talented than you are. And the coach, especially on offense, where you get to decide who to feature, what play to call, how to try and attack the defense, the coach has to kind of look and say, okay, am I going to do what they expect me to do because that's what we do best, or am I going to try and do something different that we might not do as well but might be more successful because the defense doesn't expect it? And a lot of coaches in that moment, a coach should always put the success of his team above all else. But a lot of coaches get a little selfish and think, you know what, if we just stick to what we do best and it doesn't work, then I can always say, well, that's what we do best, and that's why we thought that was the best way to go.
It's not on me. They didn't execute.
If Butch a coach Jones. Tries to do something outside the box and it doesn't work,
fake punt.
Who gets blamed? The coach. If the coach does what's worked well all year and it doesn't work, a lot of that blame is shifted to the players. Well, they didn't execute as well as we did in some earlier games, or yada, yada, yada. Jim Chaney's never seemed to be afraid of the post-game interview. He's never seemed to be afraid, and I know he won't do interviews, but I just mean he's never been afraid of taking on blame. He just doesn't seem to give a bleep.
Fromm threw it 32 times that national championship game.
Or his what's his whole stat line?
16 for 32, 232, one touchdown, two interceptions.
He was even better last year, though. Last year he was lights out. Statistically, I mean.
I mean, last year that offense came out, and it was last year they had a really good first half, right? And just kind of
well, they were up 13-0 in 2017.
Yeah.
But yeah, last year. I think last year at one point they were up 28-14. They scored 21 points in the first half. It was 21-14 at the half. I think they scored first in the third quarter, so it's 28-21. And then Alabama scores two touchdowns in the fourth quarter, one after Kirby Smart goes for it.
What's Fromm's total numbers for
25
game?
Of 39, 301, three touchdowns.
No picks, right? No.
Yeah.
In that in 2017 season, 2018, the 32 attempts against Alabama was the most of the season.
That's the year where they had games where they blew a team out and he'd throw the ball nine times. 2 years ago, right? Or maybe
and last year.
Maybe that was
really.
Last year. I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I love that he doesn't that he so can be so unpredictable. I mean, when he was here and the team wasn't doing as well as people had hoped, the big knock was, man, he short yardage. Jim Chaney doesn't run the ball enough. Like, just get the first down, buddy. And then I remember that season vividly. Later, after people would say that, it'd be third and one, and we'd try to run the ball and couldn't get it.
Good stop.
He had nothing. I think if Jim Chaney was your offensive coordinator last year, you'd have thrown the ball a whole lot more. You'd have moved the ball a whole lot more. I don't know if it changes your win-loss record. Maybe, I mean, those games you lost were really bad. Maybe it doesn't. But I think you would have seen, I think he would have given the offense a better chance of success by opening it up when you have to. Everybody wants to say, David Ubben even wrote it in his athletic piece that you only can call what you can block. Well, I mean, that doesn't always mean that a run play is easier to block than a pass play. You know, quick pass plays are easier to block than run plays a lot of times. And last year it seemed like you mentioned, even when they found some stuff that worked like that, they couldn't go back to it.
Well, and with Tyson Helton, and he's used to this at Western Kentucky, I mean, you're not going up against teams with the pass rush of some of the teams that we played last year, and he's an intermediate to deep passing game guy. Go back and watch him at Western Kentucky. It's a lot of 10-plus, you know, route combinations. Well, if you're having a guy take a deep drop and it's slow developing deep routes or slower developing and you can't block anybody, you are asking for trouble. Which is why we were wondering why they didn't go to that South Carolina short stuff a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. Then they did. It works. You're involving the running backs more. And then again, it kind of disappeared when the, I guess, because again, you did that against South Carolina, Auburn, Georgia, and Alabama. Probably three of the best defensive lines you were going to face all year, with South Carolina being pretty good and their secondary was really good. Like, why didn't we do that in other games that are probably as winnable as South Carolina, if not more so? Like Vanderbilt, I still don't know offensively what we were trying to do against Vanderbilt. Missouri, Garantano got hurt. Okay, I get that. But it just seemed, again, like it was different every week, but not in a good way. Not in a Jim Chaney way where we have schemes specifically for this team. You don't know what we're going to do. We don't really have a bread and butter other than I'm just going to outsmart you. I'm hoping that, again, something that makes sense, and maybe the identity is the lack of an identity, but the identity as a whole is just this offense just works, period. Mm-hmm. Last year we didn't have an identity and nothing worked. That's a big problem. Obviously having an identity of something that works, I mean, it changes. Alabama used to be the team that ran the ball and had a game manager. Now they've got Tua Tagovailoa, and they're going to throw it all over the place and mix in the running game. The identity can change, but in a given season, does it work? And the lack of identity and lack of success is the biggest nightmare of them all. I mean, go look at Mike Leach. You talk about an identity, that's the identity. We're going to throw it 40, 50 times a game, and eventually you're not going to be able to stop us. I don't know what Tyson Helton was trying to accomplish last year.
Yeah.
It was like drawing plays out of a 100-play hat, it felt like. Nothing would set up the next play. There was no long game involved. And that's not atypical of a young coordinator. Jim Chaney, I've watched him set people up as the game progresses. I've watched him come out with a completely different game plan than the defense expected, because then the moment they adjust to it, then you hit the stuff you were familiar with. That's what they did when they played Alabama. They came out passing. Bama's like, wait. We expected them to hit us with Michelle and to hit us with Chubb or to hit us with Swift, and now they're passing. We got to make some adjustments. We didn't game plan for this. Boom, they make the adjustment. Jim Chaney, all right, back to what we do normally. Let's just run it down their throat. And they're going 8 straight runs, getting 6-7 yards a carry against Alabama, which just does not happen.
Yeah.
So it's an identity in the sense that I'm going to outsmart you, and you're not going to be able to just get a bead on what we want to do. But the overarching identity is our stuff works because we have a smart coordinator who knows what he's doing and calls plays. Like, I don't care if we're the run it down your throat out of the power eye team or the spread them out in the shotgun team. We can be all of those things as long as it's working. Last year, it did not work. Everywhere Jim Chaney has been, whatever he has decided to do, fortunately, it has worked.
We'll come back. Final segment of the program. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Final segment of the program. It's 3 and Out right here on Fan Run Radio. Talked a lot of Tennessee football. If you miss portions of the show, download the podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, all those places, whatever way you like to listen. And make sure you give us a 5-star rating.
Michael Bratton of Saturday Down South has ranked the top 25 offensive coordinators in college football. Play callers, I should say. We'll go with play callers. Of non-head coach play callers, Jim Chaney ranks third behind Chip Long at Notre Dame, who was a name thrown around for Tennessee's OC search. Don't know how realistic that ever was. And Kendall Briles, who is 2 spots ahead of him overall at 12, Jim Chaney 14th overall. Kendall Briles, obviously some issues surrounding that one, and Jeremy Pruitt apparently called him a big moron in the interview. He's at Florida State hoping to allow Willie Taggart's plan to unfold.
KB here.
So, of realistic candidates that you could have gotten, Jim Chaney ranking third, if you consider Chip Long and Kendall Briles realistic. Interesting. Hugh Freeze not on the list because he's in a different division.
I remember that weekend.
Whew. Freeze Friday. Ahead of Tony Elliott at Clemson. Just saying. Dan Enos at Miami comes in at 16. David Yost at Texas Tech is 17. These are other guys that are not head coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Ludwig, Utah, 19. Ryan Day is obviously the head coach at Ohio State. Rich Rodriguez at Ole Miss at 21. That's an interesting one for me. Derek Dooley did crack the top 25, number 22 wow. for Missouri.
All right.
Eddie Grand, number 23 for Kentucky. Phil Longo, North Carolina, 24. And Steve Sarkisian, 25. The offensive coordinator now at Alabama. So, again, of realistic candidates, Jeremy Pruitt.
It does seem weird that Steve Sarkisian's the coordinator at Alabama. Jim Chaney's the coordinator at Tennessee. When we had those guys in, I mean, you would in reverse order. I mean, I think we all would have taken Jim Chaney over Steve Sarkisian. We debated Steve Sarkisian on and off for every other day for a week, it felt like, because he was one of the available guys. And you didn't know at that point that there really was smoke around fire around the Jim Chaney might leave smoke. That was the longest coordinator search ever.
48 days, 47 days.
But you got your man.
Yes, you did. And now we wait.
Now we wait.
Not much longer, though, thank goodness. SEC Media Days kicks off next week.
Ooh, Monday.
What day does Tennessee go? Wednesday? Are they Wednesday?
It's Tuesday or Wednesday. I think it's Wednesday.
SEC Media Days are fun because you get to hear some coaches talk. Really, they don't usually say much of interest, but it is kind of the unofficial start of football season. SEC Media Days, then like a week and a half break, and then a lot of these teams, Florida specifically, will open fall camp in either late July for Florida's case, if I'm not mistaken, early August for just about everybody else. I mean, it's basically right here. Weird to me that we're getting this close to the season and Tennessee suddenly being mentioned in the hype sleeper better than expected category. Like, a lot of people are wondering, is this some type of national setup to wound Tennessee fans? Like,
we definitely did Tennessee the clicking.
You're right. Well, that's the thing.
I mean, like, this is ESPN football homepage right now.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, is this do they really believe it? Or is this hey, we're getting close to football season. We've got some advertising deals start. We need to make sure we're getting clicks on the websites now for our partners.
I mean,
because Tennessee fans, if there's one thing they're going to do, it's going to be click every article mentioning Jarrett Garantano, Pruitt, Chaney, Ansley, Fulmer. Like, that's just what we do.
The picture's on the homepage.
Butch Jones may have had a point. Damn it.
Tennessee, Michigan, an article about Jared Lorenzen.
Of course.
Oklahoma.
Sad news.
Ohio State. Auburn, I mean.
Fan bases.
Yeah.
Any Alabama?
Another Michigan.
Big, big fan base.
Clemson, Georgia.
Does Pruitt take Garantano to SEC Media Days?
It's a really good question. We should probably spin on that a little bit tomorrow. I don't know.
When did they announce who they're taking? I mean, it's Monday. They've got to go.
Well, they don't have – I don't know. Are they Monday? Is that what you said?
No. I mean, Monday it starts, but
right.
So they're
– Yeah, I mean, you'll have to have that announced this week sometime. That might be today or tomorrow. I don't know who he would take.
Well, you asked the question a while back, and Nate just started naming every upperclassman on the roster.
Right.
We didn't really give
– I mean, I don't think Juwan Jennings goes. I don't think – I mean,
Marquez has already been.
Marquez
right?
went. I mean, players go twice. It's not impossible that he would go again. Did Trey Smith go last year?
I don't remember.
Thought it was Ethan Wolf.
We're Tuesday, the 16th. So,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's less than a week away now.
Who do you send? I have no idea. I'm at a loss for words. I guess you could send Callaway again. I don't think they would send Jennings, although, man, that would be so great.
Jarrell Taylor?
I don't know, man. That's the we gonna whip they bleep and bleep guy. Can you send that guy?
A message.
I mean, I'm all for it. Don't get me wrong. That if you're talking about who I would want to go, it'd be Jarrell Taylor,
Juwan
Jennings, Batuli,
Jeremy Banks.
Well, of course. I mean,
who you want to go?
I mean, Ty Chandler could go. He's
Alante.
I don't think you'll see a sophomore go.
No,
I really don't. Jarrell Taylor makes a lot of sense. He also came back, so he deserves a little pat on the back, probably.
Jared Garantano.
With Jennings and Taylor, I think I'd be in on that.
Ty Chandler? Talked about him today.
I just said that.
Okay.
Do you listen to the show?
I was listening. I'll try and list off every other upperclassman here. Oh, too bad. We're out of time. Tune in again tomorrow, 7 o'clock. The Blitz is next.
Congratulations to